All right, so when Jordan Wright died unexpectedly in May at the age of 50, he left behind one of the largest collections of campaign memorabilia in the world, more than a million pieces, from the typical buttons and stickers to a brochure entitled The Serious Lesson in President Harding's Case of Gonorrhea. And there was also a Ronald Reagan teapot. I was fortunate enough to talk with Wright back in January after the publication of a book cataloging his collection, Campaigning for President. Let's listen back to that conversation. So in front of me is your book called Campaigning for President. It's a great coffee table tome. Brings to mind the chicken or egg question. What came first, your interest in campaign artifacts or your interest in politics?
Well, the truth is, it was 1968. I was 10 years old, and my parents really were not interested in politics. To this day, are not interested in politics. And in 1968, the war in Vietnam was going on. The civil rights movement was in its heyday. The environmental movement was starting. And I just could not get a conversation going at home. So I got off at the wrong stop coming home from school. And I stopped off at the Bobby Kennedy for President headquarters, which was right next to Tony's Pizzeria. Just so you know.
Okay.
And
where was this? What city?
In New York.
Okay.
And there they were talking about all the things that I was interested in. And the bonus was that they gave out free buttons. So I thought to myself, God, I'm going to come back here all the time and get the free buttons. And also, of course, learn about the issues that were of interest to me.
So one button leads to another button, but when does it cross into either very old memorabilia or unique kind of campaign paraphernalia?
Well, you know, in 1968, I was looking, you know, I sort of figured out that the other candidates, Humphrey, Nixon, McCarthy, must have buttons. But then the question was, you know, this couldn't have just have been invented in 1968. So particularly when I was in college at Columbia, there were junk shops, and they had a lot of stuff. And there was one junk shop in particular that I just loved. The couple was always arguing. And so I'd go in there and I'd go, do you have any political memorabilia? And they'd go, where did you put the political memorabilia? And you know, and the wife would go, I didn't touch it. You touched it last. And so I'd, you know, sort of roam around as they were looking. And I found a flag with George Washington's picture on it, which is unique. And so I said to them, how much do you want for this? And they went, $200. And I said, well, I only have 100. And the really bad news is I have to pay this off in 4 installments because I don't have that much cash. And so I got the George Washington flag for $100.
Now, the flag is in the book. It's on page 7. You say that the flag was used to celebrate our first president swearing in. How did you know that it actually was authentic and went back that far, as opposed to something that was made, could have been 50 or 100 years later?
I didn't. I went to historians and other collectors to verify that it was unique.
You have – there's so much stuff in here. Let's go through one of the older things. This is unique, a McKinley China doll made about the scandal of McKinley having a baby out of wedlock. Explain how this doll, what this doll looks like and what it's trying to convey.
Okay, well, it's about a foot high, and the doll is China. His hands and his face are made of China. His suit is basically the American flag. And if you flip him over and flip the suit over, you'll see another China doll, and it's an African-American baby. And her head and her hands are China.
Tell me about the Benjamin Harris whiskey jug.
Okay, so in 1892, most of my book is really about a pre-literate America. We didn't have NPR. We didn't have the New York Times. We didn't have the Des Moines Register. We didn't have experts who could guide us through the political campaigns. So the campaigns had to come up with ways to get us interested in democracy, to get us interested in voting, and to remember a candidate. So in 1892, Grover Cleveland and William Henry Harrison were running against each other, and they had whiskey parties. And the whole idea was to get you drunk. And then they'd give you these little mini – I mean, they're like a quarter of an inch high – jugs with their picture on them and or their name. And the idea was in the morning you'd wake up and you'd go, hey, Grover Cleveland got me drunk. I'm going to vote for him. All right, it's not so sophisticated. But
it could have had the rebound effect of you blame Grover Cleveland on your hangover and vote against him. So that was Jordan Wright speaking with us back in January. To keep the Americana soaring like the eagle, BPB producer Ian Chillog has come into the studio, play us a 4th of July mixtape. Hey,
hey, happy 4th.
Hey, man.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, you can find some really amazing, lesser-known patriotic songs. You know, they're just made by real Americans, not people you would call professional musicians or even musicians. Let's start with the granddaddy of patriotic music on YouTube, Mr. Dennis Mandolone.
USA, America, we stand as one. USA.
Now, this video is really amazing. He's walking on the beach in a USA tank top, mm-hmm. and a light comes out of the sky into his head. He then passes that light on to others
like
throughout the video.
Like by headbutts or...
No, he touches children and the light comes out of his hand. It's really pretty awesome. Moving right along here, I'd like to play a song called Lady Liberty in a song for humanity. This is from the songwriting team of Montanaro and Sombrato. You may not have heard of them. It's a little bit Schoolhouse Rock, a little bit We Are the World. I say that because there's the line, "We are the world."
We are the world.
Yeah, that's right. Hold on. They rhyme it.
Join hands together. She's everybody's girl. Put down your differences. We got similarities.
Similarities. Okay. I would like to now move on. There is so much USA music on YouTube. I mean, everybody gets on the act. I'm sure you actually know this next voice.
Says, love my country. Yes, I do. Alas, it ain't red, white, and blue. Why am I just blue? On the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's the Tay, Tayson Day. A somber song about loving the USA from Tayson Day. Happy 4th of July.
Let freedom chocolate rain. I know it's supposed to be ring, like the president does. BPB producer Ian Chillog, thank you. You've inspired me, sir.
Yeah.
Next up on the big show, a minor kerfuffle about an elementary school encounter. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.